Good evening, folks. Bernie Ides, my name, if you don't know who I am. Good to see you here. Do you approve of my shirt? Fatitude? Yeah, sorry, I need to fill it a bit. Do you approve of my shoes? These shoes were bought in California. Anyone else here got shoes bought in California? Reeboks? I hope you approve of them because they deserve of your approval. But I want to talk to you about Subi. You know anyone here wearing Subi? Subi, yeah, what's Subi? I don't know how you say it. Yeah, you've got heaps of them, have you? Subi is a streetwear label. It came about by a bunch of guys and girls who were playing the band on the North Shore, and they found that there was no clothes that suited their style. And so they made a brand new brand called Subi. And their creations were so innovative that they were shown at the Mercedes Fashion Week in 2001, where they released 169 rats on stage, live rats on stage. These were four-legged types, not the two-legged types. Four-legged rats, they walked along the stage and to create a stir. Subi aims to create clothes with attitude, and it's become Australia's number one design label. So, Aaron, you are number one in Australian fashion taste. You just don't look it, mate. Because one thing I've noticed about Subi is you've got to be beautiful to wear it. And neither you or I suit that, mate. You see, what's Subi about? It's the same as every other fashion. It's all about being cool. It's all about the ability to stand out. It's about the ability to reflect your attitudes back to society. I'm cool, look at me. It's about the ability to receive the approval of others. And I think that's the heart of it. It's about the ability to receive the approval of others. You see, fashion is all about approval. It's all about receiving someone else's approval for what you've got on. And it's not just limited to the fashion world. We are all approval addicts. The world is full of people wanting approval. And we start right from the word go, you know. When we're little kids, we say, look, Daddy, watch, Mummy, before we jump in the pool. Even though they watched us 1,000 times before, look, Daddy, watch, Mummy, and I'll do it all again. And then we go to school and we seek the approval of our teachers. Look, Mrs. Worrell, aren't I doing this very well? Or we seek the approval of our peers. Or in academic or sporting success, we seek the approval of our mates, of those who count. And as we go on in life a bit further, we seek the approval of our parents on whom we marry or who we don't marry or what house we buy or what house we don't buy, where we live or what job we do. We seek our parents' approval. And then when we buy a car, we want our friends to approve of the kind of car we buy. That's why no one here's got a Datsun 180B anymore. When we go to work, we want our bosses to approve of the work we do. And when we have children, we want everyone to approve of them. And we want to approve of the way that we have them. You know, I did it the natural way, came out the natural path, didn't take any drugs. And then we have competition amongst mums to receive the greatest approval. You know, my baby sleeps from 8 o'clock each night to 6 o'clock in the morning, doesn't wake up. After 2 weeks, and we receive one another's approval. I know it's a bit simplistic. But in many people who have a condition, a disease called anorexia and bulimia, and I've got a personal experience with this condition, I know someone very well who's got it, an underlying cause is seeking people's approval. You want to look a certain shape. You want to be a certain way. You know, even dropping out and becoming a grunge head, you know what you're trying to do? You're not trying to seek people's approval. But in another sense, that's all about approval. You see, you're so affected that you don't want people's approval. So you want people's approval that you don't want approval. And, you know, it's this drug of getting other people's approval will mean some people here will give up on following Jesus. Because you so desperately want your mate's approval, you will give up on him. It will mean some people here will never start following Jesus. It is so important to your workmate's approval or your wife or your husband's or whoever it is, you will never start following Jesus because their approval means more to you than his. It means that some of us here have and will take up drugs and alcohol in excess. To get the approval of a boyfriend, some girls will sleep around. To get the approval of mates, some guys will commit acts of violence and indecency. Our society is full of slaves to approval. And because of this desire of approval, people are faking it all the time. There's these braces. Flick on to the next one. These braces are fake braces from Thailand. Rather than getting fitted for the real expensive thing, you can get your own do-it-yourself home kits. And you can select a red or pink or yellow bands which your colour match to your clothes. So today I'd have my white ones on. And clear or neutral bands are never seen because they're not seen. And you wouldn't want people not to see your braces. You want everyone to see them. Never mind that the glue that holds them to your teeth causes teeth decay. Never mind the fact that the metal has lead in it. Never mind the fact that people have choked on them when they've fallen off whilst they've been asleep and have had brain damage and need resuscitation. Never mind that fact. As long as I receive the approval of others, I will fake it. And some people it means faking a happy family. You know the classic, the car park miracle, I've talked about it before. You know, you're having this barnstorming argument at home with your parents or with your spouse. Anyway, it's time to go to church, so you hop in the car, come to church, you meet the Moronis in the car park, and they go, "How are you going?" "Oh, fantastic, Pete, yeah, all's well." Come to church, sing a few good songs, hop back in the car, and you're back into it. You know, giving your wife a mouthful, giving him what he deserves, whatever it is. Faking a happy family for that hour, hour and a half, whatever it is, so we can receive one another's approval. And, receiving this approval is very elusive, isn't it? It's hard to get, but it's even harder to keep. And you know what? It's jolly hard to keep people's approval. It will cost you a ton. Do you know how much Subi jeans cost? Anyone here got any? $400 to $600 for a pair of Subi jeans. See this T-shirt? It's not a Subi one. It cost me nothing. It'll cost you time. Fitting out, trying on all these new fashions, because Subi jeans only last about 3 wears because they're so worn out before you put them on. And it'll cost you mental health because you'll be constantly at the mercy of other people's opinion of you. So it'll cost you mental health. It'll cost you physical health because you're trying all day to have this perfect toned body like mine to receive people's approval, that it'll cost you a huge amount of physical health. It'll cost you relationships. Because you'll be always moving around trying to find the right people who approve of you. And when you find those people, after a few months or years, guess what? You'll need to find another group of people who approve of you because you realise that you've run out of their approval. And so you'll move and keep going to another place. You know, it might make you a person who's a loner. You know, often loners are people who are desperately seeking other people's approval. That because they've been hurt or haven't found that approval, it's easier just to be a loner, just to kick out all by yourself and do things by yourself. But really, they are people desperate for others' approval. It'll cost you your character because bitterness is just around the corner if you seek others' approval. You'll become manipulative because you want approval, and you'll become bitter when you don't get it. You'll be a shallow person because to make others approve of you, you'll be a man pleaser. You'll do what they want to do. You'll say what they want to hear to receive their approval. And you know, it'll cost you even something much more. I think Jesus says it can cost you your eternal life. And so you've got to get this worked out, don't you? We've got to get this need for approval worked out. Because it is very, very costly if we don't. And it's a horrible slavery to be constantly seeking others' approval. Today, Jesus is going to show us how we can be cured of this need for other people's approval. And he's going to do it through as we work our way through this passage, Matthew chapter 6. You know, firstly, Jesus shows us 3 examples of people who are seeking the approval of others. They're approval slaves, these guys. Now, they're religious approval slaves. They're giving in verse 2, chapter 6. They are praying and they are fasting or for other people's approval. Look at verse 2. They are giving with a fanfare. It's like, you know, the bag comes around at the end of the meeting and you put a roll on the drums as Pete's about to put something in. Just so everyone knows. Look, Pete's putting in 50 bucks. They're praying in a prominent position so everyone knows what they're doing. Babbling meaninglessly, anyway. Didn't say that right. They are fasting with disfigured faces in verse 16. You see that? Like at school where I used to go. You know, the Lent. Before Easter, the 40 days before Easter, the boys used to have to, I wasn't Catholic, so I didn't have to do this, I was an atheist. But they had to stop doing something to please God. And so they stopped having chocolates or stopped having twisties on their buns, you know, whatever it was. And so they'd walk around for the month leading to Easter with long faces. Oh, I'm doing it tough, you know, Bernie, no twisties today. Well, you know, these guys are doing it to receive the approval of men. And that's what Jesus says. Look at it. They are giving, verse 2, to be approved. They are praying to be approved. They are fasting to be approved by men. Their audience is men and their approval. They're doing it to receive a reward from men. A reward that is the approval of other men. Their religion is all about them. You know, we live in a place in a church where I don't see many people kind of fasting or giving with trumpets accompanying their giving or praying long, hard, open prayers. You know, look at me. But I think the desire for other people's approval does nevertheless affect us. And I see it in four different ways, four different signs. See if this might be you. You know, I do see it that like the hypocrites in the passage here, we can put on a show. You know, we can do the religious bit, but when we go home, it makes no difference to the way we behave. As we get home, with the way we speak to our parents, the way we speak to our spouse, it hasn't changed. We are shouting and screaming and yelling and being as ugly as we were before. Well, it seems to me that's putting on a show, isn't it? You come, you put on a show, you go home, you haven't changed. But you know, there's another way it shows, and that is we do things perfectly. We can be people who want to do things perfectly because we fear man's approval. See, if we don't do things perfectly, we're not going to get man's approval. So we do things perfectly so that we receive man's approval. We can be approval addicts in our perfectionism. There's another way I see it, and that is we can become cranky or disheartened when we don't receive approval. You know what? That shows that you're doing something for approval. If you get cranky or disheartened or give up or storm out when someone doesn't say, well done for doing what you're doing, then you know why you're doing it. You're doing it to receive people's approval. And the fourth way I see that people are living for one another's approval is that we choose not to do something. That is, we fear failure and so we fear not getting man's approval, so rather than do something, we actually step back and do nothing. So I was speaking to someone about this a little while ago, and they were saying, "Look, I won't pray in a Bible study group. I won't do it." And I think behind it all was their fear of failure, their fear of not receiving someone's approval. I think that's another sign that we are living for man's approval. All of these actions, put on a show, doing things perfectly, being cranky because we're not thanked, not doing things because we fear not being praised, can all demonstrate that our audience is man and man's approval. And they demonstrate that your Christianity is all about you. It's all for your benefit, for your self-esteem, for your well-being. And let me say, that's not Christianity. That's pop psychology. And Jesus says, if you do it for the approval of man, then you have received your reward in full. You know, when you get to him, he'll say, that's it. You received your approval then. You don't get anything from me. You've got it from man. You wanted approval from man. You've got it. That's it. But you know, Jesus doesn't just leave us there. He provides the antidote. There are four antidotes he provides in this passage to live in a life where we seek one another's approval. Well, what are they? Let's have a look at them. There are four. Firstly, he says, live for an audience of one. When you give, when you pray, when you fast, all the good works you do, do it all for the audience of your Father. You see, where do we see this in the passage? Well, look at verse 3. Look at it. I think it's on your hand out there. When you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Look at verse 6. When you pray, go in your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And verse 17. When you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, that is, look normal, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen, and your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. You see the point? When you put your hand to anything, do it all for the audience of your Heavenly Father, an audience of one. Do it for His approval. His approval must mean more to you than your mum's or your dad's. His approval must mean more to you than your mates. You know, I do little athletics at Mingara on Friday nights. I love little athletics. I love standing at the finishing line, clicking the time watch, lap times. Love it. Standing with a bunch of other guys, have a good yarn in between. And my little Sarah, I think there's a picture there. She's pretty fleet-footed. She's a good runner, like her dad, you know. And every few weeks I remind her and I say, you know, I'm at the finishing line, Sarah. I'm at the finishing line. So in the 500 metres, when you start, and when you start getting sore, when you're coming around that back straight and you're looking at the finishing line, where do you keep looking, Sarah? At the finishing line. When someone overtakes you, Sarah, where do you keep looking? At the finishing line. When you're overtaking someone, Sarah, do you look at them? No, you look at the finishing line. She's got it in her head. I know she's got it. She always looks at the finishing line. And our lives are like the race at Mingara every Friday night. You know, there's this great swathe of spectators. And the Father whom you love and adore has come to watch. And He is standing behind the finishing line. And as you come down the home straight and your guts are busting and your legs are burning up, your Father is at the finishing line. And the spectators start clapping. Well, what do? Do you go, yeah? No, you focus on your Father. Well, what about if the spectators are booing? Hey, hopeless runner, get off, go somewhere else. What do? Do you put your head down and kind of, disappear off the track? No, you keep your eyes on your Father. And you keep going for the audience of one. Fix your eyes on the audience of one. Run for His approval. Run for no one else's approval. You see what Jesus is teaching? He's teaching a radical God-centeredness. That the approval that matters is the approval of our Heavenly Father. That we are to live for an audience of one. Everything we do is for Him and for His approval. That's His first antidote. And then He gives His next three antidotes to this life of seeking man's approval. And it's all wrapped up in the Lord's Prayer. From verse 9. Now, again, I went to a religious school, and every lunchtime we used to say the three Lord's Prayers and the five Hail Marys. We should stand up, three Lord's Prayers, five Hail Marys. So every time I see the Lord's Prayer, I kind of go into this trance, and then I want to say a five Hail Marys at the end of it. So if I start doing that, can you just kind of knock me over the head and say, Bernie, get out of the trance, let's look at the passage? Well, let's look at this passage, the Lord's Prayer. There are six requests. Do you notice that? Ever notice that? Six requests to God. The first three are all about God. Did you notice that? They're about His name, His kingdom, and His will. And the second bunch of three requests are all about us, about our needs, like food, forgiveness from sin, and temptation. The first three all about Him. The second three all about us. It's important to notice that order. The first three priorities we're concerned about are God. Now, it's important to notice because, you know, many of our prayers are like Abba prayers. You know what an Abba prayer is? gimme, 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 a man after midnight. No, they're all about, Lord, gimme, 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 gimme. Abba prayers. You know, our Father doesn't just want to ask us, doesn't just want us to say, gimme. He wants us to say other things about Him, to pray other things that He's concerned about as well. And look at the second antidote to slavery, is this desire to see His name hallowed. Look at the first request there. Jesus says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Now, Jesus teaches that the very first priority in praying is to ask for our Heavenly Father's name to be hallowed. Now, what in the heck does that mean? To have our Father's Heavenly Father's name hallowed. I mean, it sounds a bit weird. But to hallow God's name means to put God in a class all by Himself. As to cherish and honour Him above every other allegiance. More simply, to hallow God's name means to trust Him. To hallow God's name means to fear Him. To hallow God's name means to obey Him. To hallow God's name means to revere His name. We are saying when we say, Lord, hallowed be Your name, we are saying, Lord, cause Your name to be, Your word to be believed. Cause Yourself to be feared. Cause Your commandments to be obeyed. Cause Yourself to be revered by me and by others. This is my chief priority, Lord. This is more important to me than anything else. This is more important to me than approval from man. Do you see Jesus' primary concern? That God's name be hallowed. This is His highest goal. That God's name is revered and loved and obeyed. And you know what? This is the reason the whole universe exists. This is the reason the church exists. This is the reason that small groups exist. This is the reason that people do mission. This is the reason that you exist. This is the reason God has made you, that you hallow His name, that you revere Him, fear Him, obey Him, love Him. Do you hallow God's name? Let me ask you the question, do you hallow God's name? Do you believe His word? Do you fear Him? Like we'd fear Aslan, you know, in the Lion, Witch and the Wardrobe. He's not a tame lion, you know. He can't just be your buddy. He's a man, He's a God to be feared. Do you obey Him? Do you revere Him? Jesus is saying, this must become your passion. And this is the second antidote to being an approval addict. To live for what God is living for. To frame all of your life. To frame all of your passions. All of your concerns. All of your loves. Around God's name. Around His greatness. Do you? Is that what you do? Do you frame all of your life around Him? Or do you frame it around man's approval? And this ties in with the third antidote to living for man's approval. Jesus says, Your kingdom come. You know what we're saying when we say that? We are asking that God be the ruler of my life now. Lord, rule in my life now. Be my king now and into the future. Do you know the church is full of people? Churches are full of people who confess their sins but who refuse to let Jesus rule their lives. You know, again, I was talking to someone a little while ago. He's a Christian guy, lovely man. But he made a decision that he shouldn't have made. And I said to him after a long conversation and backwards and forwards, I said, why won't you follow Jesus' priorities on this issue? And he turned to me and said, because I want a lifestyle and I want my mum and dad's approval. To him, the approval of his family and his friends was worth more to him than his approval from Jesus. Well, Jesus is saying that is a huge problem. We are to say, Lord, rule my life in everything. So are you asking him to do that? Are you asking him to rule your life? Are you letting him rule your life in everything? And the fourth antidote to needing others' approval is to ask for His will to be done and to plan to do His will. Now, Jesus says, "Your will be done on earth as in heaven." You know, on the personal level, on the individual level, this means, "Father, please cause me to obey Your will. Lord, would You work in my heart that I would obey Your will more than I obey anyone else? Lord, would You change me so that I love doing what You love? Help me, Lord, to do Your will." Is that the kind of prayer that you pray each day? But on the worldwide level, you know what this means? It means that there's coming a day where God's will be done, where everyone obeys Him. It's a prayer asking God to return to earth and to fill this earth with people who love Him, who obey Him, and who do His will. In other words, we are praying for the earth to be filled with people who love Jesus. We are praying that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Do you see what Jesus is saying your life is all about? Do you see what your life is about in this age before Jesus comes? Is it about seeking the approval of men? Is it about wanting your mum and dad's approval? What should we do with our lives? Now, guys, just so you know, if you're still at home, you do need to seek your parents' approval in some places. But if you're not, there's more to talk about. So what should we do with our lives? Live for an audience of one. Long to see His name hallowed. And let Him rule your life and plan to do His will. Your life is all about Him. Your life is all about living for the Lord, your Heavenly Father. And only when you get to do this right, only when you get to do this, will you be freed from being a slave to man's approval. Otherwise, you will forever be an approval addict, living for man's approval and his words. Do you know, there was a man, a number of you have heard this from the men's convention, there was a man in 625 AD. He lived in Alexandria, and which is just at the very top of Egypt. And his name was Vitalis. Vitalis was a monk, a serious believer in our Heavenly Father. He was a determined man. And he made a list of all the prostitutes in Alexandria. And during the day, Vitalis, the monk, hired himself out to work as a labourer. He did the hardest work that was possible, labouring away every day. And at night, he went to the brothels. And when he got to the brothels, he hired a woman for the night. And when he went into her place, he said, "Now go to sleep, and I'm going to pray for you during the night that you would leave this work and put your trust in your Heavenly Father. I'm going to pay a night for you so you don't sin this night." And in the morning, she would go, and the next day he would return to work, labouring away. The next night he would go to the brothel, get another woman, go to her room and say, "Go to sleep. I've paid for you for the night. I'm going to pray for you that you leave this work and that you learn to love your Heavenly Father. And I'm going to stop you from sinning for another night." And he did this day in and day out. Well, as a monk, and as a man living in Alexandria, his reputation stank. People hated him. Religious people hated him. They thought he was the lowest of lows. "What a hypocrite you are, Vitalis." And one morning, as Vitalis was leaving the brothel, a burly man apparently came and struck him a few times on the head, a good few solid blows. "Vitalis, you stink. I'm giving you what you deserve." And he held into him. Seriously injured, Vitalis staggered off to his home. And he died soon afterwards from his injuries. Well, at the funeral, gathered around were many, many prostitutes. And they testified to the work that Vitalis had done. And it became known what a great work he had done. All the while, people thought, "What a wicked man." But now it became known, "What a godly man. He lived for the audience of one. He saved many people through his desire. He lived for the audience of one, and he paid a heavy price for it. Friends, will you do the same? Will you live for an audience of one, for the will of your Heavenly Father? Let me encourage you to do that, to live for His will, live for His name to be hallowed, live for our Lord and Jesus Christ, and not man's approval. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, help us to live for the only reward that is worth receiving, your approval. Your approval, Lord, that will last into eternity as we are joined with you, worshipping you, as we are joined with our brothers and sisters, declaring your greatness. Lord, we long for this day, but in these times that we live in, help us to live for your audience and not man's. May we be determined and strong and declare your greatness to all those we meet. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.